Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us just ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to expound verses 4 through 7. And I've entitled this evening's message, Show Me Your Better Ways, Jesus. Show me your better ways, Jesus. And so are we there? Let's turn to Philippians now, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And the Word of God reads, Rejoice in the Lord always. Say that with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gladness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise God, praise God. And so, my friends, I want your attention right up here. Look at this. We are living in the now generation. Say that with me. We are living in the now generation. And whatever we want, we can often find a way to get it immediately. That's right. That's right, saints of God. It's like having a Burger King life, having it our way. And so, saints, this could be good. If it's a legitimate and pressing necessity. But if it's not a pressing necessity, it could also be dangerous. If what we desire is not something that God wants for you and I. That's right. The problem with having it now thinking is that we don't even pause to consider the consequences of our actions. Why? Because one of Satan's tactics is to keep our minds on the pleasures and the benefits of whatever he's offering us. And how much better it would be if you and I, if we submitted our desires to the Lord Jesus and we waited on him to provide what he knows is best. Can I get an amen? How many believe that what God has for us is better than what we could ever obtain on this earth? Can I get an amen? King David understood that. Let's look at the Word of God here in Psalms 27, 11 through 14. And the Word of God says, Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Why? Because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out what? Breathe out violence. Wow. Wow. And so we're going to go back in the Word of God. We're going to go back in ancient Israel to look at the lives of many of the patriarchs to see, to glean, to see that in this message, it's best to do it God's way than to do it our way. Because the things that we do in our life and the things that sometimes we decide to do, sometimes, as you could see that brick wall behind me, we hit a brick wall, and a lot of times we crash and burn. Oh, that's right. That's right. And so, saints of God, Abraham's son, Isaac, he had twin sons with his wife, Rebecca. Esau was the firstborn and grew up to become a skillful hunter. He was very skillful. But Jacob was a peaceful man who preferred staying at home. Now, one day when Jacob had cooked some stew, I want you to catch this. Esau came in from hunting and said, Hey, told his brother, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Meaning he was starving. He worked all day hunting and he came in and, oh man, That must have been a bowl of menudo soup. It was a red soup, so I don't know. But Jacob told Esau if he'd swear to sell him his birthright, he would let him have some stew. Did you catch that? So the younger brother said, if you give me your birthright, in other words, everything that their father would bestow upon the firstborn, he would swap it out for a bowl of red soup. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? And so, saints, many people today are living for the moment and are willing to pay any price to get what they want. That's right. They want a Burger King life, having it their way right now. Listen, I've seen this before, not just in our church, but in other churches that I know, where couples would think that, okay, this is God's will and that we would get married. And so we would try to implement a premarital class, you know, to slow down, slow your roll, learn to know each other, learn to find out the issues of the past. And some of them came out of previous relationships. And so premarital counseling is vital. It's vital because you would want to dig in to those things that many times we bring our own baggage into a new relationship without dealing with the old. And so we've seen this where they would huff and puff and says, no, we're going to go get married somewhere else. And they would just leave and go get married somewhere else without any counseling, without any premarital classes. And within a year's time or less, we've seen this, their marriage would crash and burn because they didn't know this about the other person, which brings out during counseling, during a marital, premarital class. And so, saints, God, this is the situation we see in the story of Jacob and Esau recorded in Genesis and how each brother responded to this situation. It teaches us what? An essential lesson that I'd rather wait on God and do it God's way. That's right. This guy traded his whole entire blessing for a bowl of soup. What have you given over to reject the blessings of God? What have you traded in? Some of you are about ready to trade in something because you want to have it so bad that you're compromising your walk with the Lord. That's right. Now, let's go to God's Word right here. Let's go to the Word once again. Let's go right here in Genesis 25:25-34. Let's read this. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out what? Red. He was like a hairy garment all over. And so they called his name what? Esau. Afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Wow. Look at this in verse 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Okay, so now in verse 29, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And I would think so, starving after hunting all day. Look at this in verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. That must have been a good bowl of menudo. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me. Listen, I'll give you this bowl of red stew. Sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is the birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as is of this day. So he swore to him and sold him his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew and lentils. And then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? Saints, I need you to listen. In a Hebrew family, the birthright was a very precious possession of the eldest son, which granted him the place of headship, honor, authority, throughout the whole entire family, and as well as most of the father's property after his death. Yet, my friends, Esau was willing to trade away this privilege for some soup. I'm telling you, it must have been an awesome, delicious bowl of menudo soup with tortillas. It had to have been that. His choice demonstrated that he despised his birthright. Esau's mindset is a perfect picture of our society today, which tends to think only of the present without considering the future consequences. And so, my friends, let's look at this. When do we sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment? When? Let's look at this right here. Number one, when we disregard the sacred values in life. That's right. That's when. See, my friends, God, the Lord God Almighty, He gave us the Ten Commandments as a law by which you and I, we are to live for our good. But if we disregard and we toss them, we'll end up suffering the consequences in the future. That's right. Thou shalt not murder. Can I get an amen? Thou shalt not murder. Let's look at our second point here. Let's look at this. When we insist on immediate fulfillment of our desires. Did you catch that? That's what Esau. Now, there's another story in the Bible. David and Samson are two biblical examples of this. That's right. King David himself, he yielded to his lust for Bathsheba and resorted to the murder of her husband when she became pregnant. Listen, my friends, the pleasure of a moment yielded painful circumstances for the rest of his life. And Samson, he was the strong, mighty Samson with all the locks on his head. He had long hair, and that was his source of his strength. Samson was given supernatural strength by God. What? To fight the Philistines. But his desire for Delilah led him to what? Foolishly tell her the secret of his great strength, which was in his hair. And saints of God, as a result, she cut his hair, and the Philistines overpowered him. They bound him up. They blinded his eyes, and they threw him into prison to work, what, as a grinder. He wrecked and ruined his life by seeking his own desires instead of obeying the Lord God Almighty. Wow. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at our third principle right here. When our focus is on the worldly rather than what? The eternal. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? When our focus is on the worldly rather than the eternal. And so, saints, you and I, we tend to think we can pursue whatever we want. Why? Because no one, including God, will notice. Well, I'm here to let you know, He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. He fills all space. He sees all things. We forget that His principle, what? Never fail. And whatever we sow now, we will reap in the future. That's right. We will reap. Let's look at what God's Word says about that. It says in Galatians 6:6-10. Let's read that. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Say that with me. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also want, reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, notice capital S, that means sowing to the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit will reap what? Everlasting life. Say that with me. Everlasting life. Wow. Look at this. And let us not grow weary. That's the key, saints of God. God's called you to live holy and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. He wants you to live that awesome sanctified life. What? To preach, to teach, to raise up, to exhort, to go pray for souls that are sick. But some of us grow weary, but God's encouraging us. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us what? Do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Did you catch that, my friends? That's right. Listen, there's people in the church that may not be as strong as you are in your faith. And yet, we cannot just walk by them. We need to pray for them. We need to be there for them. That's why we need to be there for one another, to edify, to build up, to exhort, to pray, to bless. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this for a moment, right here. When do we sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment? Did you catch that? When do we do that? When do we do that? Now, let's look at our fourth principle here. It's when we make irrevocable decisions in periods of physical and emotional weaknesses. We will have those moments, my friends. Oh, yes, we will. We will have those weak moments. And this is exactly what Esau did in the moment of fatigue and exhaustion. He forgot about the future and traded. He traded away what? His promised position of authority and power throughout his family for a bowl of menudo, for a bowl of red soup. That's right. And later, saints of God, when he wanted it back, it was too late. He had lost his birthright forever. You see, my friend, sin cannot be hidden from God. Its satisfaction is only temporary, and regrets always, always follow, my friends. They always follow. Let's look at God's word and let's confirm what I'm saying here this evening. Look at this. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. That's the key. That's the key, my friends, is doing the will of God. Doing it God's way. You see, our way is like a Burger King life, having it our way. And if we learn to do it our way more so than God's way, you see that wall behind me? Look at that. Look at that. You see that wall? We will crash and we will burn. That's right. We'll crash and burn. My goodness, friends, God is saying something to us tonight that we need to slow our roll. We need to take heed. We need to re-examine sometimes our agendas, our thought life. That's right. Especially when we're all by ourselves. That's right. That's when the litmus test takes place. Can you live holy when no one's looking? My goodness, my goodness. Now, let's look at this right here. Let's look at our fifth principle. When we have no respect for spiritual things. Did you catch that? When we have no respect for spiritual things. Let's go to 1 Samuel right here, 15:26. Look what the Word of God says. But Samuel said to Saul, I will what? I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. What? See, to me, that was like a line being drawn by God. God had continually warned Saul in the error of his way. And the prophet Samuel would repeatedly come and have to tell him to turn to the right or turn to the left, or rebuke him and saying that you are dishonoring God. And yet he would not listen. He was stiff-necked. And there's many people in the church that are stiff-necked. This is the time that we must rise up in faith, my friends. That's right. To have a made-up mind, to live holy, to be sanctified, to be set apart, to do the will of God. Can I get an amen? Let's go now to 1 Samuel 16, 14. Look at this. But the Spirit, what? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord, what? Troubled him. Did you catch that? He was playing with fire. And God said, enough. And so God's spirit departed. And now he was left all by himself, king, without the King of Kings watching over his life. That must be a horrific feeling to know that God's not with you no more. My friends, let us never come to that place. And I'm just going to pray right now, forgiveness of my own life. Oh God, forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. Oh God, if there's anything that's not like you, Lord, cleanse me and wash me. It first starts with the teacher and the preacher and the pastor and the evangelist and the bishop and the elder, the deacons. Oh God, forgive us, oh God. We don't walk above others. Oh God, let us walk in humility in the name of Jesus, that we may be able to teach and preach to those and point them to the cross and point them to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at another principle, number 6. It's when we fail to examine the possible consequences of our actions. There are consequences to our actions, saints of God. Oh, that's right. Judas was a perfect example. Judas, he walked with Jesus as one of his disciples. Why? Because he thought Jesus would overthrow Rome. He thought that he was the liberator for the day. He thought that Jesus was going to liberate Israel and then just rule the world. And when he didn't get what he wanted, he betrayed Jesus and suffered eternal condemnation. That's right. He ended up, after he turned him in for 30 pieces of silver, he ended up wanting to take that whole scenario back, but it was too late. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was crucified for you and I. And that was the providence of God. That was the purpose of God to send his only begotten Son to die for you and I. And Judas, he was tormented. And he went and hung himself because God had departed from him. Saints, anytime you and I, anytime we sin in seeking our desires, our own desires, consequences will follow. Instead of rushing ahead to fulfill our longings, we should consider God's will. Can I get an amen? And timing for our lives. Saints of God, we must guard against being like Esau, who sacrificed his future for moments of pleasure. His bowl of menudo soup was filled that his bowl was filled with just soup. But we fill ours with all sorts of sins, don't we? Instead of seeking the only one who can truly satisfy our souls. That's right. That's right. Listen, when I got saved, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, all the things that I was searching for in life, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. That's right. Drugs, alcohol, womanizing, all you name it. Every ungodly thing. Part of the culture. What the culture does today. Those who have forsaken God. That's right. But God, in his grace and his mercy, saved me from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's right. And when God does a good thing in your life, he does a great thing. That's right. He will place his spirit in you. He will wash you in his blood. But there has to be a heart of repentance. When you come to Jesus by faith, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. God will deliver you from drugs and alcohol. God will deliver you from prostitution. God will deliver you, hallelujah, and heal your body that was full of sickness because of sin. And God is the God that will give us a new life. He'll give you a mind to be saved. He'll give you a new heart to praise him. He will take out, hallelujah, a heart that was stony and give you a heart of flesh to praise him, to glorify him, to magnify him. Hallelujah. God will do the miraculous in your life. God will raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's right. God will pull you and draw you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My goodness, friends. God wants to do the miraculous. That's right. God wants to do the miraculous. Let's look at this for a moment, saints of God. Let's look at this. What is in our bowl today? that carries disastrous consequences, huh? I'm going to name a few, and we're going to cover some of these things that the Bible describes as sins of the flesh. That's right. Sins of the flesh. And this is something that the church needs to teach and preach. No, but nowadays, these big, giant mega churches, they want to coddle the sin. They won't tell you you are in sin. Some of you that are sleeping with your boyfriends and committing adulteries, they won't preach against that. Everything's okay. Just keep on putting money in the offering plate. I'm here to let you know, my friends, that God wants to deliver you and I from many things of the flesh. But we need to be willing to allow Him to come with a repentant heart, to come with a life that would surrender unto Him. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at some of the tragedies that take place in a human's life. And a lot of times, we like to blame the devil, but a lot of times, we did it to ourselves. Can I get an amen? Man, I don't know how many people I prayed at an altar, and I came across this, alcohol. You see, my friends, we can buy a drink all we want and feel good for a while, but the results of becoming enslaved to it are difficult and long-lasting. That's right. I know some folks who basically had cirrhosis of the liver, and they are not here with us today. That's right. Why? Because whatever we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. Look what the Word of God says. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit what? The kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Say that with me, saints of God at home. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, no, look at this, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. Do you catch that? Right now, this the State of the Union in 50 states are marrying homosexuals and transgenders. But God said, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Well, what? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. That's an indictment from heaven. God placed that. God. It's God Almighty. Can I get an amen? If God wrote that, you could take it to the bank. It is true. And these things that He said is so. And yes and amen. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Prejudice. Passing judgment on others simply because you don't relate to them. And that never pleases God. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? That's right. Let's look at what God's Word says right here in Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has what? Lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is what? A fool. I don't know if you caught that presidential debate last night, but man, I'm telling you, there was some lying lips, and there was a whole lot of hatred there. That's right. But God said, don't get caught up in hatred. Give it to God. Give it to God, and He will set us free. Can I get an amen? Guard our heart with His Word, and guard our hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. Why? Because the anointing comes to break every yoke in our life. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Now, let's look at this. Another sins of the flesh is what? Drugs. No one ever intends to become addicted to drugs, but the sought after pleasure and relief soon turn into what? Bondage. Bondage. That's right. Man, I'm telling you, my friends, when God saved me, I was addicted to crystal meth. I was addicted to cocaine. I was addicted to marijuana. I didn't care for too much liquor, but those things alone that I just mentioned were enough to send someone to hell. And I was headed there. But God in His grace, God in His mercy, gave me a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. And God saved me from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But there is an end game. There's an end game to this culture and to this world that won't repent. That's right. Look what it says here in the book of Revelation. It says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and sexually immoral, sorcerers, that means pharmakia in the Greek, that means drug addicts and drug dealers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake, what? Which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. Wow. My friends, those of you that are watching right now, maybe you're caught up in drugs, alcohol, and some of the things. But one of the things that sometimes are really deceiving, oh yes, it's not so much the exterior things that we put in. It's the internal things that come from the heart. Let's look and see what I'm talking about right here. Bitterness. It begins with anger and grows into a more destructive emotion that affects our entire being. Did you catch that, my friends? Bitterness. That's right, bitterness. Let's look what God's word says here in Ephesians. Let all, say that with me, let all bitterness, wrath, look at this, and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ, what? Forgave you. That's right. I've seen church splits of people being bitter. I've seen people that turn against their pastors. That's right. And they're so bitter. And then Satan fills their heart. And it's an onslaught of bitterness. And then all of a sudden, the other person becomes the enemy. And yet, none of us should be enemies to one another, especially in the household of faith. And I've seen people pack up and leave because they couldn't stand the other person. You know, there's a day coming, and those who are holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness will have their day in court with God. And so, my friends, if there's anyone that you hold bitterness and unforgiveness toward, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will enlighten you and strengthen you to get it right with one another so that you'll be right with God. Can I get an amen? Let's look at the next sins of the flesh is this one, adultery. It's often glamorized in our culture. Adultery destroys individuals and families. Oh, that's right. It's all in our movies. It's in our sitcoms. You know, it's taken lightly. But let me just say this. None of this gets past God. God's the ultimate judge. Oh, that's right. And every one of us, including Christians will stand before Jesus Christ, before the Bema seat of God. The unbelievers, they will stand in the white throne judgment, and then they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because they rejected their only salvation that was offered to mankind, and that was through the living God, through Christ Jesus and Him alone. Now, let's look at what God's Word says right here in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will what? Wow! I'm glad God said it. So that right now some of you have got tomatoes ready to throw at me. Ha ha, you can't hit me. You'll just mess up your television set or your iPhone or wherever you're watching me. But God is serious about this matter. And He will judge because He's the ultimate judge. That's right. Let's look at the next one right here. Fornication. Not believing God to live holy and sanctified. Having a spirit of self to only gratify oneself sexually. This unrepentant lifestyle sends one to what? Oh, man, to Hades. To Hades. Where is Hades? That's hell. My goodness. My goodness, my friends. Let's look what God's word says about this. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit what? The kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. You know, this is taken lightly. There's people that come to church living with one another, but it's okay. Oh, well, you know, God knows my financial situation. Yeah, he also knows that as long as you live in a rebellious lifestyle, you will not receive and have your prayers answered or any good thing that will come from God. He doesn't bless sin. He blesses righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. You must be born again. You must live holy, righteous before God. You must be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise and live that life of honor toward God. Not a life of duplicity, but a life that will honor God. Now, here's another one right here. Let's look at this, saints of God. This is what's destroying our nation, abortion. It may seem like a way to escape a difficult situation, but those involved in abortion carry a heavy weight of guilt. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We have ministered to many, many. We have ministered to many women who have gone through this. And a lot of them, their own hearts condemn them. But if they would only realize that the life that's inside the womb, as soon as conception takes place, God considers it a living soul. Now, God frowns, he frowns upon those who will abort these babies that are created by him. Let's look at what God's word says about abortion. You shall not what? Murder. You shall not commit what? Adultery. Wow. Wow. My friends, God is serious. God is serious about it. That's right. Yes, he is. He's serious about abortion. And another thing that baffles me, my friends, another thing that baffles me is this right here. Let's look at this for a moment. Hatred. Even if we feel justified in our hatred, it damages our emotions, health, attitudes, and relationship with others. What? With God. Wow. Wow. And there's a lot of people that just hate one another. But what is God saying about that? Let's look what God's word says right here in Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Wow! Jesus said that. It's in red writing right there, my friends. And it ties in. It ties in with this, unforgiveness. The right response to every offense is forgiveness, but harboring unforgiveness is a sin that hinders our lives. Wow, did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Right now, I just feel right now, God's Spirit right now saying that He wants to set someone free. God doesn't want to send no one to the lake of fire. God's perfect will in his way is that all men and women should come to repentance and to cry out to God. But unforgiveness is a serious indictment from heaven. Let's look what I'm saying here. Let's look at this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father what? Forgive your trespasses. Did you catch that? Wow. Wow. My friends, this is the time to not play church, but to be the church. We need to show men and women that are dying in their sin hope. Our life is redeemed by God, and we must show a dying world that there is a better way. that you can live holy and sanctified unto God, that you can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But how can you, if your heart is filled with anger? When we hold on to anger for wrongs committed against us, our bodies, feelings, spirits, and relationships, they suffer, my friends. That's right, they suffer. They suffer. Look what God's Word says in Ephesians. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your what? On your anger. Oh, saints of God. Saints of God. To continue in these sins will only result in future suffering. If you and I, if we find any of these in our lives, we need to ask God to cleanse us and to forgive us so that what? So that we can live the life that He what? He intended for us. My goodness. As I close, I know some of you are about ready to turn this off. But don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this evening. It is up to you to decide. Do I still live an adulterous life? Do I still live in fornication? Do I continue to have hatred and unforgiveness and anger to my brother, to my sister? Or will you repent and turn to a holy God? Now, I'm going to leave you with these questions. Let's look at this. Number one, have you, like Esau, ever traded something precious for a moment's pleasure? What could it be, saints of God? What do you think that could be? What was it that you gave up right away to obtain maybe possibly something that's so ungodly? And now maybe you're suffering the consequences of it. Let's look at number two. Look at this. What consequences did you experience? I know some people that have now cirrhosis of the liver because they couldn't stop drinking alcohol. They had to have another glass, another beer. And they've been drinking almost all their life. And now they're suffering the consequences. Let's look at number three. What lessons did you learn? Did you learn from any of these mistakes? Did you learn to be an overcomer? Have you learned to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, saints of God, this message tonight was ordained by God to give you hope, not to condemn you, but to lift you up. Because if you're in a place of compromise, now's the time to surrender to God. Let's look at our fourth question here. Look at this. The next time you have a strong desire and the ability to fulfill it, what should you do to ensure that you do not make a foolish decision? What can you do? One of the things that I find myself is calling on the name of the Lord. Call upon Jesus. See, God, I'm weak right now. Oh, God, I'm being tempted right now. Oh, God, my flesh is tempting me right now. Give me strength. Give me the power to be an overcomer. And God is faithful. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Why? Because God loves you. Yes, He does. He loves you, my friends. Let's look at another question here. Number five, what spiritual benefits and fruit come from denying ourselves some of our desires? And some of our desires are very ungodly. Some of them, you and you want to talk about it to your own spouse or bring it up publicly to even your best friend. You know, we keep those private things to ourselves. And yet God is saying, give it to me. I see it all. I want to help you. I want to bless you. But you got to give it to God. Why? Because, my friends, soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. That's right. We're almost out of here. Listen, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is coming back for His bride. We are what? The bride of Christ, the born-again church. And it's not just all churches or any denomination. It's not about denomination. It's about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. A heart that has repented before a holy God. And once you repent, He washes you in the blood. Then He fills you with His Holy Spirit. And then He gives you power to live godly, to live holy, to live righteous. And now when we stand before a holy God, guess what? He doesn't see your sin anymore. All He sees is the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, my friends, Jesus is coming back for His church. His feet will not touch the Mount of Olives until His second coming. But He's coming to pull us out from this earth. We are the ones He's going to extract from this earth. And it's going to happen so fast. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. And we're not going to meet Jesus here on this earth. We're going to meet Him in the clouds. Oh yeah, where does it say that? It says it right here on the Word of God. Let's go there right now. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. He said, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we indeed believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who what? Sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Say this with me at home. "For the Lord Himself will descend from what? From heaven." Look at this. My goodness. "With the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." That's right. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus told His disciples, "I go away to prepare a place for you. And that where I go, there you may be also there." Did you catch that? That means, my friends, that when Jesus comes, we will meet Him in the air. He's not coming to the ground. And He's going to whiz us away. That's right. You see, I need you to catch this. Our relationship is a groom coming for His bride. That's right. The born-again church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus is coming back. You see, throughout the Gospels, it's about a wonderful marriage, a betrothal. Jesus, who's coming back for His betrothed wife, which is the church of the living God. And when He comes, we're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be whizzed away. I need you to see this depiction because it clearly illustrates when Jesus comes, He's coming with His Father as well. And the angels are going to blow the shofar. And we, the bride of Christ, will finally meet Him face to face. Let's look at this for a moment.
The wait is over, and the groom is finally on his way to be united with his bride. As they move through the town streets, trumpets blare loudly to not only wake the bride, but also the guests that were invited to the wedding feast. Only those that were prepared could quickly rise and join the concession.
The bridegroom and his groomsmen now exit the house. They go out of the compound, begin to serpentine through the streets of the village until finally they come near the bride's house. And as the bride comes into view, what a shockingly beautiful scene it must be. There in the middle of the night, you have a row of women with the bride in the middle, all the bridesmaids dressed in their white linen robes. And in the center, the bride dressed in her beautiful bridal gown.
After a year of preparing and waiting, they are finally together again. Reunited as one forever.
parade led by the bridegroom now rush up towards the bride and her family and all the people that are standing there, the bridesmaids, and the two men with the litter set the litter down on the ground in front of the bride. And she very, very modestly steps out onto the litter and she lowers herself down.
The bride did not simply follow her groom back to the father's house, but she was lifted into the air. In fact, the ancient Galileans referred to this moment as flying the bride to the father's house.
She's lifted up off the ground. She's escorted with him back to that place of preparation. It speaks, it shouts all about God's grace. It's not her effort. She was just to be ready because she loves him. She's borne aloft. She's taken away with him. It's all about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God from the beginning all the way through to now to the end.
Wow. Wow. Did you see that? She sat in the litter and they lifted her up and they carried her in the air back to the Father's house. That's what the Word of God says. That the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. And God is going to take us back to His kingdom in heaven. That's right. But my friends, flesh and blood cannot enter into to the heavens. You and I could barely jump 6 inches off the ground, let alone 100 trillion light years away. So something has to happen. The Bible says we must be changed. We must become like Him. So when Jesus died and rose again, on the third day, God gave him a brand new body. He's the first prototype. A body that will never die, it'll never grow old. A body that will live forever. A body that will appear and disappear. Wow. And you and I are promised that same body like His. But we must be changed. Let's look at God's Word and see what I'm saying right now. Let's go here. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, Paul wrote to this church and said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? There it is. Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Wow. My question, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready to be raptured out of here? Are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? Because don't let this happen if you're not ready. I need you to look at this real quickly.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow. Wow, my friends. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're watching this Facebook, YouTube telecast right now, my heart is crying out to you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, now's your time. The Bible says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. And so, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, repent. Let's look at God's Word right here. Peter wrote, and it was written down by Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. This is Peter the apostle who denied Jesus three times, but he was empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which had fully come. They were all in one accord with one mind, and they were waiting for the promise. Jesus says, go to Jerusalem and wait and tarry for the promise, meaning wait for the promise. And Peter wrote this down, and it was transcribed by Luke. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God! Praise God, my friends. So, I need to ask you a question. Do you want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, pray with me. Pray with me. God wants to do the miraculous in your life. God wants to give you hope. God wants you to know that you too can have eternal life. That your sins can be washed in the blood, filled with His Spirit of promise. And know without a shadow of a doubt, you will be with God in eternity in heaven with Him. And so, I want to lead you into a simple prayer of repentance. It's a confession unto God. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. I need you to pray with me. Bow your heart and your head and pray this simple prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Someone just got saved. Someone right now gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look below on the screen down below, there's our website. That's how you can get a hold of us. And we love to give you a brand new Bible. We love to point you to a church that'll teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so you can also go on our website, and this message, you can download the PowerPoint with the videos that you just saw. You can download an MP3 message. That's right. And there's a link to YouTube to watch this telecast one more time or as many times as you want, and you can share it out. Also, all my notes are there for you as well. It's all free. The Bible says, freely given, freely give out. And I want to thank and praise God once again for Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. This Sunday, we're opening up. It's a soft opening at 10:30, 5305 Sweetwater Road at 10:30. We want to see you there. Come on out. Have church with us. We are so blessed that God gave us another facility. And then the following Sunday, which will be October 11th, it's going to be a grand opening And we'll have a taquero out there, and we're going to serve food. And I hope you all will be blessed. Be blessed. And so, my friends, thank you. Thank you, Amazing Grace, for making all this happen. It was through your prayers, but more so, it was your monetary gifts. You continue to bless the ministry with your giving unto the Lord. And down below, if you're new to the ministry, or you feel led by God to bless our ministry, go to our website, and there's a donate button, and donations are deeply appreciated. So, it's time for me to say goodbye. I can't wait to see you in our new building this Sunday at 10:30, and I'm looking forward to ministering God's Word, and we're all excited to see what the Lord has in store for Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And so allow me to send off a blessing your way. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Well, my friends, until Sunday morning, we'll see you then. God bless you. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.